Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. InfoWars, I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You have me for the next 2 hours, so strap in. We're going to be talking about a number of things like we do every weekend, and it's a great honor to be back with you this Sunday. What an honor, honestly. I mean, I wake up sometimes and pinch myself that I'm able to host InfoWars on Sunday night consistently, 2 hours a week. Man, it's just it's an absolute honor. What Alex Jones has done for this country can't even be quantified, and all the other great hosts on InfoWars. Shout out to everybody out there in the audience. Talk to you guys every day of the week. See you out on the campaign trail. And I really appreciate your support and your continued appreciation of my time on this show. Today we're going to talk, I mean, first, and on the other side of the break, we'll get into things a little more in depth, but I said it last weekend and I'll say it again. We have to thread a needle here. I just don't know how else to say it anymore. There are a lot of conventional wisdoms we could point to, like never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. And if we look at this thing over the long haul, if we zoom out far enough and we look at what's happened in this country over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, let's even shorten it to the last 4 years during the illegitimate Joe Biden regime, and just the radical political shift that's taken place in this country. Never interrupt your enemies when they're making a mistake. Our enemies were making a mistake at every turn, right before our very eyes. I mean, we were winning. We were winning. We were winning at the schools. Parents were finally waking up that the transgender thing in the schools was getting out of control. They were sticking men in steel octagons and cages with women, letting men beat women unconscious in MMA fights and you know, whatnot. Black people were finally saying, hey, come on. I mean, how many times are we going to listen to the Democrats tell us that their whites are the only ones who aren't racist? The illegal immigration was, you know, being unmasked as the real political weapon that it is. And black communities all across this country, major cities all across this country, were starting to have rightful questions about the illegal immigration, the unfettered, unlimited illegal immigration into this country. You had candidates like me who won endorsements and nominations in the 2024 cycle against the RINO establishment, against the Republican establishment, against the Uniparty, on campaign slogans like borders, debt, forever wars. We got to close the borders. We got to start to pay back this debt. We got to start to figure out this debt. We got to plug this leak. And we got to stop getting involved in these forever wars. Everything was going in our favor. Then, as a cherry on top, they got real desperate, tried to kill the president of the United States. Failed. Couldn't stop there. Killed maybe a future president of the United States in Charlie Kirk. And then, you know, God bless us. We start these deportations. We get major pushback, and Steve Bannon was calling this out a year and a half ago, that the deportations was going to be the real precipice to see where everybody was. And he was right. And then we even started to get that back under control, started to corral that narrative. We're still trying to corral that narrative in a sense with the SAVE Act. Broad bipartisan support from the people on voter IDs. Now we're at war. Now we're at war. A war that a majority of the American people don't want to be involved in. We're going to talk about the implications of that politically, especially since I'm running for United States Senate here in the state of Minnesota, and much more as we get through the 2 hours. As I said before, I'm Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Pentagon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have foundation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra-methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's an honor to be back with you again. And we have to talk about the war. Before the break, I said, you never let your, never interrupt your enemies while they're making a mistake. And our enemies were making so many mistakes, we could barely count them. We could barely keep track. I mean, the Democrats had abandoned all sense of reality. They had abandoned all sense of a shared reality. They were going to double and triple down on the transgender ideology. They were going to double and triple down on unlimited illegal immigration. They were going to double and triple down on the intelligence coup that was ran against President Trump. They were going to double and triple down on the Russia propaganda. They were going to double down on their shilling of the CCP and the Chinese Communist Party and the communist, political agenda. They were going to double and triple down on the entire gamut. They're still willing to double and triple down if we'll let them. If we'll let them. Never interrupt your enemies while they're making a mistake. They were making grave political errors. And I hear all these people talk about political strategy, all these experts and consultants. And, oh, hey, Royce, you pay us $10,000 a month from the campaign. We could pinpoint exactly what the people want to hear. I mean, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you don't really need that kind of thing. And I do understand. I want to say this on the front end of the show. I understand the peculiar situation we've put President Trump in. We've all done this. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. We've all done this. Alex Jones, people like Alex Jones can say, I've been warning you for 30 years. I mean, he could actually say, I'm not responsible for this because he was a watchman on the wall and he tried to tell us over and over and over what was going to happen. So people like him could actually, you know, pull back from the culpability and say, I'm not responsible for this. But for most of us, for the most part, we did this. We let this happen. We pushed our country, our people, this entire global society to a place where it's hard for people to decipher what's true and what's not anymore. I was just telling somebody earlier today, we're at a point now, and every man comes to this point in his life where all the questions are tough, all the questions are difficult, and all the answers are shit. All the answers are terrible. There are no easy answers. There are no easy questions. There are no easy answers. That's where we are. And this war doesn't help one bit. I mean, we already have a crisis of culture, a crisis of politics, a crisis of spirit. We have a psychological crisis in this country. We already have those things happening. War, the fog of war and the law of unintended consequences only makes things worse. Makes it very difficult to see who your friends are from your enemies. To decipher your friends from your enemies. The Middle East is a perfect example. As a matter of fact, I don't know a time in the last 60 years where we could properly decipher our friends from our foes in that specific region. Worldwide. I mean, the level of double cross and triple cross that is being played in this jump ball, this geopolitical jump ball, is of biblical proportions. How do we know what anybody's true intentions are? We don't. We don't. We're just lying to ourselves. And in some ways, you could look at the results and infer the motive. I get that. I mean, you can look at somebody's actions and deduce a lot about what their intentions are, but people are slick. We're in a confusing place in this nation's history. Confusing place politically. I mean, look what's going on down there in Texas. I can't for the life of me figure out who voted for John Cornyn. I have half a mind to think that the elections in Texas aren't even real based on what I'm seeing. Honestly, because I can't based on the I can't find any Republicans, even in Minnesota, which is, you know, typically tilts a more plumb line Republican uniparty sort of conservative. Every room I go into, Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, persona non grata. Now, maybe they're lying to me because they know I'm the ultra MAGA, you know, right wing, far right, you know, Christo fascist extremist. Okay. Maybe they're lying to me because they're Minnesota nice. And there may be some truth to that, but unanimously, at least, you know, public facing, nobody has any appetite for Mitch McConnell, John Thune, or John Cornyn. Who voted for John Cornyn in Texas? I'm not talking about how close the race is and the fact that we obviously want Ken Paxton to come out on top here, you know, as this thing, you know, finalizes. That aside, I would like to know who in Texas is actually voting for John Cornyn. And it's important. It's not inconsequential. Because if there are, even close to 50% of the Republicans who are voting for John Cornyn in the great Lone Star State, it tells us exactly why we're in the crisis we're in. People have been had enough. People look out and they see what they want to see, or they see what's advantageous for their own personal agenda. They have no real sense of national honor, sacred honor, the good of our country. This Texas election, it just blows my mind, you know, and it's so good for the theater. It's, oh, you know, Ken Paxton and John Cornyn, they're neck and neck. And now we're going to this nail biting runoff where the third party, you know, Hunt is voters, the 13% that he got is going to be split. And which way will his voters vote in the end? I mean, I just look at the whole thing as a Greek tragedy that Texas even has the, you know, a constituency that would vote for John Cornyn at all. In any sizable majority, it blows my mind. Political confusion is my point. Perfect example there in Texas. Where people are on the political spectrum. Right? I mean, you got, and again, President Trump, for example, there are two types of people. There are people who oppose President Trump, the person, and then there are people who oppose President Trump, the person who represents a set of ideas, a certain set of ideas. And there are people out there on the left who may be sour on President Trump, the person, the personality, but may agree with the ideas, and vice versa. There may be people out there who don't necessarily agree with all of the ideas, but they love President Trump, the personality. And some of those people are coming toward the principle. President Trump has, you know, created a situation or had created a situation where those people came toward the principle. Look at the Tulsi Gabbards and the RFK Juniors and even J.D. Vance. And you could look, take that, you know, with a grain of salt or however you want to take it. But people who formerly, who had previously been staunch opponents of President Trump softened on President Trump and the ideas. Then you have people who never liked President Trump because they never liked President Trump and because they never liked the ideas. Scary enough, there are more people out there, in my opinion, more consequential people out there, in my opinion, when it comes to us making headway in saving the country that came from the left and softened on President Trump and the ideas versus the Republicans that were always closer to President Trump on paper politically, but never believed in the person or the ideas to begin with. And that is a type of confusion that puts us in an awkward spot. Like, how do we deal with that? How do we sort that out going forward? How do we tell who's who, even here at home? Hold the principle. You move people toward the principle. You have to hold the principle and move people toward the principle. And all of those who are moving closer to the principle, we want you. The people who are around us moving away from the principle or who don't believe in the principle first, we have to be able to properly identify the principle and put those principles up on referendum, whether it's in our conversations, our political conversations on a daily basis, or in this case, 2026 midterm elections. We have to properly identify the principle and put those principles up on referendum. For referendum and see how people react. See where people stand on the principle today. Give me a prostitute from 25 years ago who had 3 abortions. If her principle is different today and if she's willing to hold the principle today, if she believes in the principle today, we want her. I'll take her and 1,000 other like her over a John Cornyn who's going to smile in my face, drape himself in the Republican Party, or the cloth of Christ, and stab this country in the back every time he gets an opportunity. Every chance he gets. Now, that's hard for some of us to deal with. See, and I'm in the Republican Party, and I'm going to these BPOU conventions and all of these other Republican events, and they have the same type of candidates, the same prototypes. You can come up to the stage and read from the same list of talking points, and it's all so dry. I mean, seriously, it's like nails on a chalkboard. It's nothing personal. It's not about their personality or even that what they're saying isn't true to a degree. It's just like a cheat sheet. There's nothing novel about it. There's nothing authentic. There's nothing genuine. There's certainly nothing transformative because there's nothing risky enough in the times that we live in to be transformative. And that is a diagnosis of the political situation as a whole, but on an individual level as well. I'm going to all of these events and we're still living in this Ronald Reagan, the hypnosis. We're living in a Ronald Reagan hypnosis still here in the Republican Party. Oh, if we agree on 80% of the issues, then I guess we're all good. Oh, really? Oh, really? As though the 20% of issues couldn't be consequential. Well, let's flip that on its head. If we're going to live by a Ronald Reagan sort of Pareto distribution, if we're going to live by a Ronald Reagan Pareto distribution, then how much of the country is in favor of this war? Now, wait. How much of the country is in favor of this war? And if we agree with the rest of the country on 80% of the issues or on 80% of a given issue, can we not find some type of middle ground with that 80% that agrees on this issue? Like voter ID for a prime example. With all the polarity that exists in our American culture, with all of the political polarization that exists in our American culture, people seem to agree that voter ID makes sense. So let's focus all of our energy on that by our Ronald Reagan philosophy. You broaden the scope to the entire American public. Oh, no. If we agree on the 80% of an issue or all of the issues within the Republican Party, then the Republican Party can go forward with the same uniparty establishment that broke the back of this country. I'm sick of it. Guys, I'm just sick of it. Love the president. You know I support you 1,000%. I was the guy in 2024 at the Big Three on CBS Sunday afternoon. No prompt, no encouragement from anybody. Trump 2024. Black Sharpie on the side of my bald-headed dome. and I took the scrutiny from the entire mainstream media, and I laughed right back in their face because I knew the truth and I understand the principle. The principle is this. The mainstream media is a part of the permanent political elite in this country. They try to break the country. Why? Because they see themselves as above the country and the countrymen and women. Very simple. It's not rocket science. And in large part, that's why President Trump has been iconicized in history the way he has. For good reason, with merit, and we're all grateful. But, and I do say but, Mr. President and the rest of the administration and a good portion of American citizens, you can't have it all ways. You can't have it all the ways. You gotta choose a lane. We're at a fork in the road, and I hate to say it, this fork in the road ain't pretty. We're looking down two dark paths, two dark roads, two dark lonely roads. Do we need to be in this war? Is this war necessary? Is it essential? And I think I'm pretty even-handed on it. I understand. Yeah, the Iranians are openly saying Russia's helping us. Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un and you know, the Iranians are all in a circle, smiling. With their burn American, burn the West, burn America t-shirts. I got it. I understand. It's not about do we disagree with these people or are they our enemies? Are they our enemies? That's not the question. The question is it necessary right now? Well, in some respects, that doesn't matter anymore. So once you cross a line, you're committed. And now it becomes hard to figure out if we're staying in this war because we actually think we can win, if it's even possible to win, or because we're trying to save face. And I'm not talking about for the mainstream media or approval ratings, because we're trying to save face on a global stage where there are real consequences and ramifications once you cross into the fog of war, once conflicts and hatred and disagreement becomes kinetic. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. This Israel thing's out of control. It is completely and utterly out of control. And I said it was going to get out of control 4 years ago when I was standing outside of the Federal Reserve here in Minnesota. And I said, I'm fighting against globalism, the globalist agenda. And the Star Tribune, the Minnesota Star Tribune, the paper of record here in the belly of the beast, had subtext in the article that said globalism is a dog whistle for anti-Semitism. I knew then that Israel was going to become the dividing line. And here we are. Here we are. It's not even about Israel or the Jews. It's about us. The same way it's not necessarily about the CCP. It's the fact that we sold our manufacturing out to the CCP. It's not about the Europeans. It's our affection with Europe. Our cuck-like affection with Europe and the royal family. It's us. We're the problem. It's not all of them. Of course Israel is going to use us to their benefit. Of course Israel will take all the cash we'll keep shoveling them. Of course the CCP will manufacture as many action figures and dildos and butt plugs as we could possibly buy. Of course Europe will siesta as long as American citizens are willing to pay the tab based on this idea of Westphalian citizenship. Do we need to be in a war right now? I'm a Catholic. You all know. Or at least if you watch the show, you know. And I hear Christians saying Catholics aren't Christian. Excuse me. You watch your mouth. These Catholic theologians had this stuff sorted out. That's part of the problem in this country. I'm just going to keep it real. And I love my Protestant brothers and sisters. And I pray that the schism between the Catholics and the Protestants can be solved, can be healed, so that we could fight against our real enemies, which are more inside the wire than they are anywhere else in the world. But we live in this strange polarity today where on one side, to the extreme, we have transgender jihadists. And on the other side, we have Christians who believe in Israel more than they love Jesus Christ, who have more loyalty to Israel than they do Jesus Christ. And that's not an opinion. It's not conjecture. It's certainly not a conspiracy theory. So, whoa, Royce, what are you saying? What do you mean? Yeah, it's more loyalty to Israel than to Jesus Christ. No, our loyalty to Israel is because of Jesus Christ. Excuse me? What kind of racket is this? We're a nation who does not believe in our Lord and Savior, is propped up in priority higher than our Lord and Savior. And when I say higher in priority, I mean the mockery of Jesus Christ in our own streets because of our own lack of political participation has reached a critical point. You tell me how you square the circle that a Christian country, a country that was predominantly Christian, lost our country to communists and Satanists. How a predominantly Christian continent like Europe lost their continent to communists and Muslims. It's not just that we didn't prioritize our country. It's not just that we didn't prioritize our continent or our heritage or our culture or our customs or our borders. It's that we didn't even prioritize Christ, because if we would have prioritized Christ, at all the points along the way, we would have stopped and said, whoa, if we let you keep going there, we're going to lose Christ. We're going to lose the church. We're going to lose the faith. We're going to lose the moral and ethical fabric of this country. We're going to lose the foundations. Nope. We let them shame us. I posted earlier today, I'm driving down the highway here in Minnesota, and it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm taking a morning drive. I want to get some fresh air. And out of the window, I look to my right, and there's a church, and I use the term church loosely in this instance. There's a building portrayed as a church with a beautiful cross of our Lord and Savior. And on the wall hanging below it is a transgender LGBTQ BIPOC flag, three times the size of the cross. And it hit me like a 2,000-ton anvil. This is how you lose your country to communists and Muslims. Has nothing to do with the Ayatollah. Respectfully, it has nothing to do with the Ayatollah. The way you lose your country to communists and Satanists and Muslims is when the church starts to fly transgender LGBTQ BIPOC flags, three times the size of the cross. Call me a Christo nationalist. I'm proud of it. Some very important Catholic theology to help sort out this mess we find ourselves in on the other side of the break. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment, bringing you some good old-fashioned Catholic theology. Stay tuned.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexShowsTour.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexShowsTour.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexShowsTour.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexShowsTour.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexShowsTour.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexShowsTour.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
This is the Alex Jones Show.
The Alex Jones Show, Sunday night live here on InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Morris White, and I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And again, nobody should be abandoning President Trump. Why? I've said it before. I'll say it here tonight. The man was touched by God. We can't forget that. With the speed of information, with the pace of everything that comes at us and the content and the 15-second reels and the doom scrolling and you know, everything's getting so sophisticated, creating these echo chambers. Nobody can really see beyond their own screen, lack of a better way to put it. Never forget, President Trump was touched by God. And so there's a divine appointment and calling on him that transcends the knowledge of man to a very, very high degree. It can only be defined as a supernatural degree. I'm not throwing away my box here, my exclusive one of one Trump 2024 cereal box. I'm not getting rid of my MAGA hat. No. That'd be like to disregard the American flag or Christianity or a basketball team, if you play a sport or anything in your life, because things don't start to not go your way. I was just coaching this afternoon, my 15U, traveling basketball team. And one of the things I talked to them about was body language, temperament. It's like, you can miss a shot. You could turn it over. Somebody could score on you. Things can start to go wrong. And most of the time, college coaches don't look at mistakes. They look at how people respond to mistakes, how they deal with mistakes, how they deal with adversity. And as the age-old adage reads, as it says, what makes a man is not falling down. It's how you get back up and how it's not that you have adversity. It's how you deal with adversity, how you overcome adversity. The MAGA movement's on the ropes. Let's just call it for what it is. The MAGA movement is on the ropes, and we're going to have to channel some Muhammad Ali now. We're going to have to find some comfort on the ropes. We're going to have to find some stability on the ropes, some strategy on the ropes. The first thing is we got to have some temperance. Temperance. That doesn't mean we should be any less passionate. Doesn't mean we should be any less invested. In fact, to resign from the thing altogether would be the exact wrong response. Oh, it's all chaotic. I quit. No. That's what Judeo-Buddhists do. That's a Judeo-Buddhist philosophy. Oh, everything is nothing. And if nothing is everything, then all things can be through you. Oh, all you have to do is just meditate 7 times a day. No. We're not Judeo-Buddhists. We're Christian nationalists. We have to put our shoulder to the wheel. We have to speak the truth. That is a necessary component. Continue to speak the truth. But do not abandon ship and do not abandon your post. The only way we lose in the end is if we quit. That's what the Iranians think, isn't it? Surely they're showing us a bit of their own resolve. They think the only way they lose in the long run is if they quit. The question is, do we have that kind of resolve here? Or have we created this sort of, you know, esoteric political theater that transcends the 1, 2, 3, the basics? Let's go back to basics for a second, because I want to appeal to the President of the United States, his administration, and all the other American men and women out there who are listening to this broadcast this evening. I want to talk to people about the great Saint Augustine. In the fifth century, Saint Augustine famously wrote The City of God. It's an incredible literary work, both theologically and philosophically, regarded as one of the great literary works in the history of Western civilization. City of God. And a couple of important ideas emerged from that work, from the City of God. In it, Saint Augustine, this is just beautiful. I mean, it's just as good as writing possibly gets. He said, a brief and true definition of virtue is rightly ordered love. A brief and true definition of virtue is rightly ordered love. It's an idea that would become known as Ordo Amoris, later developed by the great Saint Thomas Aquinas. Order Caritatis, the order of charity, the order of love, the order of charity. And essentially what it says is there is a rightful order to both love and charity, just like we have the natural order from God down to the child. There is a rightful order to love and charity. And the rightful order is first that which is most local to us. The order goes God, yourself, your immediate family, your loved ones, your children, your spouse, your parents, and then your village or your neighborhood or your immediate community. Everything else after that. the proper Christian orientation of love and charity. And we could say of family and faith is that which is most local to us first. And it expands out in concentric circles. What is the proper order of charity? Now, this may be the best Christian theological or philosophical justification for an America First policy approach. Some people won't even touch it. Why? Because I don't know, Catholics aren't Christians. And we know there's a problem in Rome, in the Vatican, with the deep church. We know the pedophilia ran rampant through the Catholic Church. We know that there are just as many woke Catholic churches that won't put the LGBTQ flag up on the side of their parishes, but have a sort of liberal leaning view of the faith, the same as the Methodist or Presbyterian churches. They're just a little more secret about it, vis-a-vis recent comments and positions by a few popes. So we're not saying the Catholic Church is perfect. I don't think anybody red-pilled in the America First movement would say the Catholic Church is without scrutiny, rightful scrutiny. However, to discredit some of the sophisticated, highly sophisticated theological and philosophical circle squaring that went on between people like the great St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas is foolish. It's absolutely foolish. The proper order of charity is first that which is most local to us. There's not a more America First Christian idea developed in the history of human civilization. Because our charity and our love is so disordered right now. It's an embarrassment. We should be ashamed. It's so bad. We have such a disordered love and charity. It's heretical. See, again, it has nothing to do with the Jews. It has nothing to do with Israel. It has to do with us. Our order of charity is all off. We've given our nation's financial capital, the world's financial capital, to a transgender jihadist. Okay, I'm sorry, a trans activist jihadist, to be more accurate. We've given the greatest city on earth, the financial capital of the entire world, to a trans activist jihadist. We're worried about Israel? And that's not even to talk about the military realities. And who knows? Maybe tomorrow, you know, we wheel out the Death Star out there in lower Earth's orbit. It wouldn't shock me at this point to see look up one night and see, you know, the real life version of the Death Star with a mad size cannon direct energy weapon. And we're going to completely blow Iran off the face of the planet. It wouldn't shock me at this point. I mean, who knows what we're going to wheel out? That's what war kind of becomes, is an unveiling of advanced military technology. And it's already started to happen here in this short skirmish. And maybe we just plow on through. Doesn't look that way right now. We hope so, because we're already in it and we don't want to see any more service members killed. And we surely don't want to see boots on the ground. So we have to hope for the best case scenario, but we also have to prepare for the worst culturally as a commentator, as somebody who has the responsibility to speak to the American people with truth and assess what's actually going on. I hope we win the war in a short, you know, concise fashion, because our country's in a war. And why wouldn't we want to cheer for our country? We certainly wouldn't want to cheer against our country. We certainly don't want to root against our president. or the Secretary of War, the Secretary of State, or any of these other people. We don't want to cheer against America. But we also want to deal with the realities of what's in front of us. Doesn't look like the war is ending rather quickly, to say the, to put it, you know, mildly. It's because the Iranians are, you know, the Persians. I mean, you have Persia, which was a, you know, one of the historic dynasties in human history. And then you add some radical Islam, some real faithful Islam on top of it. And you have a people who are very proud and willing to die, as they've shown already. And I understand where President Trump is in, you know, just as an aside, as I walk through this and you're like, well, I can't tell what side he's really on of the deal. Good. Good, because I'm not trying to make a claim. I'm just thinking out loud here on Sunday evening, if that's okay with everybody. I'm working through it myself here in front of you. I understand what President Trump is saying. He's saying the entire West has been getting pushed around by Iran, by China, by Russia, by North Korea, by all these people who we give all this money to, and they have the audacity to yell, death to America, death to the West. Death to the West, death to America. Are you kidding me? Oh, no. Oh, we'll be hitting back. And there's a Christian crusader in me. Don't get me wrong. There's a Christian crusader in me that says, to hell with it. Let's just go. Let's just go. Let's get it on. Because in some ways it is inevitable that we're going to get it on. It's not like if we left these people to all their own devices, they wouldn't try and kill us. Surely they would. And we all know that. You can never turn your, you can never really turn your back on an enemy, or you shouldn't, let's say. Never give an enemy your back. It's true of life. It's true of jujitsu. It's true of war. It's pretty much a universal truth. Abel turned his back on his own brother, and look how that turned out. So we know you shouldn't turn your back on your enemy. The question is to prioritize America first for the foreseeable future in a very strict sort of way. Is that actually turning our back on our enemy? Or is what we're doing now a form of blinding ourselves to the real dangers? And when I say the real dangers, I don't just mean the CCP who hides back behind the Iron Curtain there, who hides back behind the Great Wall of China and has all of this proxy influence on Iran. And yet we still come out before the American people and say that Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism. Square that circle for me. Am I stupid? Am I dumb? I'm sorry. It's an insult to my intelligence. Stop saying it. Stop saying it. It's not helping anything. It doesn't help anything to say that. Iran is not the number one state sponsor of terrorism. The CCP is. Say it correct. But we can't say it correct. We can't say it full throat. We can't say it straightforward, because we would much rather go to war with Iran and pretend we're in some type of quasi-proxy, asymmetrical, pre-World War kinetic fight than just go ahead and roll to the front door of Beijing. And, you know, we could square that circle and say, oh, well, hey, a full-blown kinetic war with Beijing is much different than a full-blown kinetic war there in Iran. And okay, fine. That's true. You could say that with perfect utility. The point is, when you zoom out, given that truth, what is the long-term goal? Now, if President Trump's thought process is, hey, we're going to go to hemispheric defense. We're going to go to a hemispheric strategy. But before we leave the Middle East, we're going to kick them in the nuts. We're going to leave Israel as the dominant force there in the entire Middle East African region, because we have more opposition with radical Islam than we do Israel. I get it. I understand the logic. I got to be honest. And there's no but. I just understand that logic. We're going to go to a hemispheric defense. We're going to go to a hemispheric strategy. But before we leave the Eurasian landmass, before we pull out of Mackinder's World Island Theory before we closed the book. Before we closed the book, we turned the page on the geographical pivot of history. We're going to kick these Muslims right in their nuts. Part of me likes that. I just got to tell you, in full transparency, part of me likes that. Go ahead, kick them right in the nuts before we roll out of there. The question is, do we plan to roll out? See, and that's an important distinction to make. And it's right for the American people to look at the situation and go, I don't think the plan is really for us to roll out of there at any point in the near future. And that's an entirely different proposition. With all due respect, that is an entirely different proposition. And the way you can track what I'm saying is people were against this, the last skirmish we had in Iran, but people accepted it because at the end of the day, I mean, President Trump is like on a heater in Las Vegas right now. I mean, he survives an assassination attempt, a second assassination attempt. He wins an election against all odds. Getting convicted, getting sued, you know, the list goes on and on and on. The entire mainstream media waged against him again. Somehow we the people and the, you know, social media sort of alternative information source kicked him through, you know, pushed him through. Becomes the president again. Closes the border in 2 months. Just seals the border right up. Ends several wars around the world. Rolls into Venezuela. Plucks out the president and his wife. With the whole world saying, you can't do that. Yes, I can. I just did it. We just did it. Okay. Do you understand? I mean, the man is riding at the level 99 of 100. He's on the final boss of this video game. And the final boss is always your own arrogance. The final boss is always your own ego. It's not just the president, it's me. It's the collective consciousness of the American people. We the people, vox populi, vox Dei. The final boss is always your own arrogance. Look at Alexander the Great. Look at Napoleon. Look at Genghis Khan. Look at any great leader of any great dynasty throughout history. Look at Julius Caesar. The final boss is always your own arrogance and your own ego. And I'm not saying we can't decapitate or defang the Iranian regime. I'm not saying we can't degrade their military capabilities. I'm not saying we can't kick them in the nuts before we leave the Eurasian landmass. The question is, do we plan to leave? Because if we don't plan to leave, the inevitable outcome is that war is going to happen right there on the doorsteps of Beijing. That is the inevitable climax of what we're doing right now. Is that what we want? Maybe. And as I say that, the realization hits, maybe. Maybe the real holy war, maybe the real hill to die on is two diametrically opposed views of human existence and how to formulate a government and what freedom is really all about between us and the Chinese Communist Party. Maybe. And maybe Thucydides' trap is real. And maybe we are on a collision course with China. Maybe we are. I'll say this. If we ever plan to win a war with China, a war against China, win in a war with China or against a war, against China. It's not going to be that we roll over there and pull out President Xi. I mean, we can't regime change our way to peace. The same way we can't vote our way to sanity. We can't regime change our way to peace around the world any more than we can vote our way back to sanity here at home. We can band-aid, we can plug a few leaks, and maybe that's necessary. And maybe that's what we're doing right now. But maybe we actually think we can play this thing all the way out to the end where we, what, change the regime of Russia and China and Iran and North Korea? And we're going to hold the Eurasian landmass while our European counterparts have lost their balls? Where Africa is starting to give their continent, their countries, to a neo-colonial Chinese project? And Israel has mad-sized dreams about greater Israel, yet they have to phone a friend in order to get it done. We have to really think about what we're doing and what is the long-term goal. I don't know. It's above my pay grade, but I know what questions to ask. And I know what answers to listen for. And we say this is going to be a quick regime change, and then it isn't. And then all of a sudden we're going to go in and now we're going to, what? We're going to put troops on the ground and take the uranium. But what in the world or what just happened here? By its own definition, it becomes a forever war again. And if we just kicked out the forever war pillar of this party's platform and this movement, I think we're losing the plot. Honestly, with all due respect, I support the president. I'm going to continue to support the president. But part of being supportive is telling people the truth. Everything President Trump is doing for this country right now should be celebrated. Except this. The border, ICE, the deportations, the tariffs, the economy, the whole gamut, election integrity, all of it should be celebrated, except for this. And if that makes me persona non grata, hey, feel free to kick me out of the movement. The ideas live in my heart, that which is most local to us first. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. This is InfoWars, Alex Jones Show, live here on Sunday night. We'll be right back.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're talking about this war in Iran. Again, you know, we're at a fork in the road. And neither road is going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. We've pushed ourselves to this point. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. We got no good options. All the options are bad, in a sense. But, you know, I can't help it. So pattern recognition with Somalis, pattern recognition with blacks, pattern recognition with liberal white Karens, pattern recognition about Israel. Oh, that's a non-starter. Oh, really? Okay. I mean, we can continue to play it this way. It just doesn't work in the end. See, and another Christian principle is that contradiction leads to sin. Contradiction leads to sin. There's that which is true, and then there's that which is contra. The amount of lies, the amount of hoops we have to jump through to justify, in not just this war, but just the entire conversation, the entire outlook on Israel from our Christian community is absolutely unacceptable. It's untenable. It's just not true. It's not based in the truth. It's like this. How could this not become a forever war? The only way this doesn't become a forever war is if the Persians really overthrow the mullahs and President Trump took a shot and, you know, maybe we got the Iranians to overthrow their government. Which, by the way, is a pretty wild thing to suggest in the first place. I mean, even the hoops you have to jump through there. It's like, we're going to go get involved in a conflict a world away on the off chance that the Iranian people are then motivated or encouraged to overthrow a government that they didn't think to overthrow of their own volition. It'd be like if we needed the French to overthrow the British. No, not that we needed the French to win the war, which we did have help from the French to win the Revolutionary War, but that we needed the French to motivate us, to give us the kick in the butt in order to overthrow the British. No. We wanted to overthrow the British. We declared our independence. We were gonna go to the mattresses no matter what. The French just saw an opportunity for themselves to give a kick in the nuts to their British enemies. So we were going to, you know, lob a grenade there in Iran and hope that the Iranian people overthrow the leaders. Okay, now we've pivoted. Now we're going to degrade their military capabilities, and hopefully we can stave off the aggression of Iran for a while longer. But to what end? And whose end is it? Is it our end? Is it our foreign policy? I mean, when you start losing people like Eric Prince, you know, I think it's time we just take a step back and say, hey, let's reel it in. Let's reel it in. And President Trump has been great at maneuvering like that on a number of occasions. On a number of occasions. But even the great King David crapped out in the supernatural lottery at some point. And we have to ensure that point does not come in this era of American history, because we need to win more than ever. And I just don't see this as a winning position there in Iran or here at home. The evidence is there. I'm going to talk about that on the other side of this brief break, but the evidence is there. And John Cornyn is the signal from the noise. John Cornyn and the Republican establishment in America is the canary in the coal mine. We'll be right back on the other side of a break. Stay tuned. You're watching InfoWars on Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have foundation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. Guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And these things are consequential for me personally because I'm running for United States Senate. I looked down at Texas, and before the break I said John Cornyn and the Republican establishment is the canary in the coal mine. $70 million they dumped into that race to help John Cornyn keep his seat and defeat Ken Paxton. Why? Why is it in a time where the economy is so unstable, people are so pressed for cash, certainly the American working class, how is it that $70 million makes its way into a United States Senate race? It's, first of all, it's just an obscene amount of money. Obscene. And the runoff is going to get even crazier. Never forget, in Georgia, between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker, they dumped $250 million into Georgia, only to have to cheat anyway. I mean, the election, I mean, it's an entirely different conversation, but it's kind of connected because the SAVE Act, which should be the number one priority in a rightfully ordered love, rightfully ordered charity, a rightful order of things, that which is most local to us first, God, myself, my family, my local community, and then everything else in concentric circles. Again, back to reference, the great Saint Augustine wrote the City of God, Ordo Amoris, Ordo Caritatis. Order of love, order of charity. There's a rightful order to both. And our charity has found itself all around the world. Our priorities have found themselves all around the world. And what St. Augustine was saying is the things that are nearest to you, your duties that are nearest to you are more important than some distant causes. Now you argue with that theology. Hey, if you want to argue with St. Augustine, be my guest. You want to argue theology and philosophy with St. Thomas Aquinas, be my guest. Have at it. Proceed. But these things are gravely disordered. The SAVE Act, the security of our elections, the freeing of Tina Peters. Just send the marshals out there and pull her out. What are we, you know, it just troubles me. I'd be remiss not to say it troubles me that a woman of her valor and her age is going to sit there and rot in a jail cell. But we're going to send young men and women to die for Israel. For any other country. Again, it's not about Israel or the Jews. For any other country. It just so happens that our entire foreign policy is centered around one country. And it is. I said this the first time I hosted InfoWars. I said, America doesn't have its own foreign policy. We don't have genuine American foreign policy. Our foreign policy is the foreign policy of the British Empire. It's the foreign policy of Mackinder's land theory. It's the foreign policy of the Eurasian world island theory. It's the foreign policy of the geographical pivot of history. It's the foreign policy of British academics who see Eastern Europe and the heartland as the essential to control of the entire Eastern Hemisphere. Sino-Russo alliance, Russo-German alliance, German totalitarian war machine. Those were the three enemies laid out in Mackinder's theory. And those people, those alliances have become our foreign policy. Why? Because as great as technology has become, as we're seeing there in Iran, being able to walk to the resources you need versus having to fly or sail still makes a difference. There's consequence to the geography. There are ramifications to the geography. A war a world away for Israel, and we have people like Tina Peters sitting in a prison. That's the real crying shame. And if you want to take it down a level, the SAVE Act itself, arrest these people. Arrest these senators. Arrest John Thune. Arrest John Cornyn. Arrest some of these Supreme Court judges or some of these district judges and 8th Federal Circuit and well, whatever else. If the situation is really that dire, if our country is hanging on by a thread, if our future rests upon the edge of a blade, so much so that if Israel isn't protected and Iran defeated and decimated, then the very safety of each American citizen hangs in the balance. If we're really at that dire of a place, then we shouldn't spare one resource or one, not a single measure to ensure the security of our elections. If it's that dire. Abe Lincoln did it. Abe Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. So America doesn't even have the stomach to discuss the icons of our own history with a full throat. We don't even have the stomach or the balls to discuss the icons that we hold up in our own history with a full throat. And that shows a degradation of our culture. To a degree that is indicting and dooming. Abe Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. Chief Justice Taney, you got to provide charges or else I'm going to let him out. And as the story goes, Abe Lincoln sent him a message. You let him out of prison. You let him out of jail. I'm going to be arresting you next. And see, he wasn't flipping about it. It wasn't a sort of nanana-boo-boo tyrannical power trip. He justified it. He said when they were having the discussions about suspending habeas corpus, his justification was, if I don't do this, the government itself will cease to exist, and that will be me forsaking my duty as the president of the United States, as a leader in this country. The SAVE Act. John Thune, John Cornyn, a United States senator has the right to deny the people, we the people, secure elections, real elections. That's our number one priority. That's the proper order of charity, of love, of politics. I might have to write a new treatise, the order of politics. Ordo Politico, What's the proper order of politics? That which is most local to us. And I know everybody's gum dipped and hung up on globalization and the global dollar empire. But that which is most local to us. The SAVE Act, our own elections. Not just as a political posture or some type of virtue signal, but for a practical and prudent approach to the value of citizenship and the security of our country as a whole. As though our elections are some nonchalant, inconsequential, stolen elections have consequences. Grave consequences. And if President Trump, if nobody else, President Trump is a shining beacon, and our country is a shining beacon, that stolen elections have consequences. So there's not a moment to spare. And yet I still find myself holding my breath, waiting on the SAVE Act. But we can go to war in a country a world away. And I'm supposed to believe that's for our interest? Hey, maybe we completely blow Iran into the afterlife. Maybe we end up passing the SAVE Act. Maybe. Maybe. But see, and when I look at some of these people, some of these rhino establishment Republicans, it's interesting. You know, it's like, what's the connective tissue between them all? It's that, number one, they oppose President Trump. They oppose the ideas, and that's maybe the most important piece to point out. They oppose him on a personal level, but really they oppose the ideas. So John Thune, John Cornyn are on record opposing the ideas. It's not President Trump and his leadership. They oppose the ideas fundamentally. So it's their opposition of President Trump, but when I take a list, when I take an accounting of the list of people from the rhino establishment wing of the Republican Party, they all feel the exact same way about Israel. The exact same way. They're all in lockstep about Israel, about our military-industrial complex, about the geographical pivot of history and our foreign policy not being our own, the defense of Europe, the parasitical NATO agreement that we've had, the World Health Organization, all of it. All of it. They're in lockstep on the entire deal. They're Atlanticists. They're globalists. They're, sycophants for this academic philosophy, this academic idea of their donors, of their own pockets, of their reelections and their political action committees. They're lobbyists. They're all in lockstep. I look down the list and do it yourself. Do it yourself. Find one of these rhino Republicans like John Cornyn or John Thune or Mitch McConnell who isn't all in for some war in Iran. Find me one. That's why I'm running for United States Senate, because there aren't a handful of United States senators who are America first. There aren't a handful of America first United States senators in the entire United States Senate. And they fear me like the Black Plague. No pun intended. Nothing to do with the melanin in my skin. They fear me like the Black Plague. One, because they know I can't be bought. But two, I can articulate the issues right down to the fundamental principle. Christian theology, city of God, St. Augustine, Ordo Amoris, Ordo Caritatis, the order of love, the order of charity. The first order is that which is most local to you, expanding out in concentric circles, never sacrificing distant causes from the near duties. Principle. Principle. If Israel is more important than America, just say it. If Israel, if our strategic military position and footprint, if the United States military itself, whether it be inventory or the basis or whatever the justification is for unlimited, unfettered debt ceiling expansion, whatever it is, if whatever it is more important, just come out and say it. Because whether you say it or not, that's the feeling a lot of American citizens are getting. And I discount the people on the far left, because I know they don't even care about this country. And that's the pickle we find ourselves in as well. Let's stop pretending there's this 50-50 split or this 60-40 split that's going to wax and wane, ebb and flow during every election cycle. That's not the truth. That's not the reality. The reality is there's about 20% of the people in this country who really have a proper order of love and charity, a proper orientation of things. And the other 80%, they just blow with the wind. Whichever way the wind blows on that day, they'll go. That's why, and you know, Nick says a lot of things that are true and need to be said. Nick Fuentes says a lot of things that are true and need to be said. Anybody who denies that, they're not being honest. Says a lot of things that are true and need to be said, but I could never vote for a Democrat again, ever. It's over. That's not a path. That's not a viable path on sacred honor. It's a viable path if you want to play fast and loose with the principle, with the morals and the ethics. But if you want to draw a hard line in the sand morally and ethically, righteously, in alignment with the Christian faith, we can never vote with the Democrats again, and that's a daunting position. It's a dark and daunting position that people can't really deal with. We're showing it. How could I join hands or vote for a party that openly mocks Christ? Not only that, they prop up and promote Satanists. They theatrically display demonic possession. Can't vote with Satanists and communists. Can't vote with transgender jihadists. Can't vote for a Mamdani or an AOC. No matter what the situation is. That leaves us one alternative. Like it or not, it's the only one. The only alternative is to stand and fight within this Republican Party. As much as I dislike John Thune, as much as I dislike John Cornyn, as much as I dislike Mitch McConnell, as much as I dislike Steve Daines and Tim Scott, as much as I go right on down the list of special interest and lobby compromised U.S. senators, the last bastion of the deep state where all the vertical donors come to get their pecker wet. As much as I despise these people, they were elected by the people, or they were selected. But the bottom line is, if the narrative starts to tilt away and say, I mean, look what happened to Dan Crenshaw. Out of there. See ya. Look at this race in Texas. On one side, you say, who in the world is voting for John Cornyn? On the other side, you say, look at how the grassroots is starting to take Texas by the gishkis. It's a little Hebrew for you all there at home. Little Jewish lingo there. Look at how the grassroots MAGA movement is starting to take Texas. Look at here in Minnesota. You know how bad they wanted to endorse and nominate Joe Schmo, he, him pronouns in my LinkedIn bio, Frazier? The Wells Fargo banking data analyst who served 20 years in the armed forces, once in Iraq, once in Afghanistan. I mean, he had the perfect prototype profile to waltz into an endorsement or a nomination of a place like Minnesota. And they're trying to do it again. They got a guy named Adam Schwarzy. Adam I was the co-chair for Nikki Haley's presidential campaign, Schwarzy. My girlfriend made me do it. My girlfriend made me go to the Nikki Haley fundraiser. That's why I donated $2,000 to her in the last cycle. My girlfriend made me do it. No, your girlfriend didn't make you do it. Dude, stop. And if she did, that's disqualifying in and of itself, because my girlfriend's never made me do a damn thing. We may fight. We may disagree. We may come to a middle ground, but she never made me do anything. That's an indictment of your character, especially as a former military man, especially in this nation's darkest hour. Your political instincts were to play politics and join on to the Nikki Haley bus if it was going to pay dividends in the future. Her political instincts were to say we could never win a general election with this type of toxic masculinity that President Donald J. Trump shows. Those were her instincts. You know how bad they wanted Joe Frazier and now Adam Schwarzy to get the endorsement and the nomination in Minnesota, and all that stands in our favor is that people show up in a small convention assembly in the middle of May to say America first versus everything else. The MAGA movement versus everything else. And that's how politics is done in this country. And I have to say to you, with full transparency and in love, politics is decided by the people who show up, which is why the slogan of my last campaign was "The people are coming." And you know what? They're coming. They're coming. But this better be a watershed moment. You can't resign out of the process now. We're just getting started. We spent 30, 40 years in a boomer coma politically. The day they shot John F. Kennedy in the head is the day the boomer generation went to sleep out of fear. The message was clear. You push too far, you get your head blown off. You might as well take the cash. We've been in a boomer coma ever since. President Trump came down the escalator. We're back in the game. And we want to quit already, 10 years in. It's a sign of softness. Let's just have the confrontation. Like I said, everything President Trump has done up until now has been spotless. I shouldn't say spotless, because there's spots on everything. But it's been great. The border, the crime, the economy, the tariffs, all of it. All of it's good, in the right direction. Moving people toward the principle. Moving in the right direction. This war, uh-uh. Oh, no. Boots on the ground. I don't care how much uranium they have in Iran. Let the IDF go in there. And why do they need us? This is one of the most decorated military forces in the entire world, allegedly. Why do they need our troops to land boots on the ground to go get these, you know, uranium facilities? Or are we afraid that the Israelis are going to commandeer it for themselves and make more nuclear weapons? We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
About to embark on a great adventure.
President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission. Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort.
All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew, and our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit. Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle station. Brace for impact.
Yo-yi.
Hasha!
End of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. every Sunday night. I'm so thankful to Alex Jones and the InfoWars team for having me on a consistent basis. Lord knows I would never find myself on Fox News these days. Another good example of what we've been talking about over the course of the two-hour show here this evening. See, I can recognize pattern. I can recognize pattern with the fraud here in Minnesota, with the Somali community. I can recognize pattern in my own neighborhood I grew up in with black people and crime. I can recognize a pattern with liberal white Karens and their double standards about racism. I can recognize patterns all across the board. And we get to Israel and everybody says, oh, there's no pattern. No, if you say there's a pattern, it's anti-Semitism. If you say there's a pattern to our foreign policy and our engagement with any of these conflicts, it's anti-Semitism. You just hate Jews. The reason they never bring me on to any of these mainstream shows, one, I can articulate the issues, and I can articulate the history, and they're deathly afraid of that because, you know, we're just going to, as AI starts to kick up and more people are putting more editorials online than ever before, they'll just rewrite the history. They'll just, you know, they'll just change. They'll just amend the history or maybe erase the history altogether as they see fit, when they see fit. But the reason they don't really want to cross swords is because one of my best friends, a mentor, a man that I consider family, And maybe I'll bring him on the show next Sunday. The great Professor Penn is a Ukrainian Jew himself. And his views on the deal are way more radical than mine. To the right. Way more radical than mine. See, and they want to, and this is the interesting thing about media and what Alex Jones has described as the Hegelian dialectics that have been waged on us. The interesting thing is while it's okay to recognize patterns, the danger does become that we start to view people in a monolithic way, or we start to discuss or talk about people in a monolithic way. We lose sight of the fact that there's not a consensus in Israel about this issue. There's more of a consensus about this issue in the Christian Zionist American culture than there is in Israel itself. I've actually watched them call my Ukrainian Jewish friend anti-Semitic because he has disagreement with this foreign policy. He's not a leftist. He's not one of these leftist Jewish professors. No. He's an America firster. In fact, they say he's too America first inside the Minnesota Republican Party. Why? That's what I'm getting at here. The connective tissue. We can't keep dancing around this. We just can't. I don't need Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, or Nick Fuentes to tell me what I can see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears. The pattern recognition. We can have pattern recognition around every other issue, except when we get to Israel, then it's anti-Semitic. It's an insult to our intelligence. It's an insult to your own intelligence. It's an insult to the one true living God and his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. It's an insult because it lacks truth. Fundamentally, it's not true. It's a concession to a communist and leftist way of doing things, that the end justifies the means. And if we have to lie, we'll lie. There is no righteous cause where if we have to lie, we'll lie comes out good on the other side. And this is one of the heresies of becoming an empire based on military-industrial complex, because one of the fundamental modes of war is who can deceive the other person the best. And when you do that, at least when you give over to that at a cultural, at a sort of a foundational cultural level, when you give over to the inherent deception of war, you lose a piece of yourself. That's why our military men and women come home and they are broken and beaten. Because an inherent quality of war itself is the art of deception. So people start to lose themselves when they have to live like that. We've done it here in this country collectively as a culture. But war is sort of a hyper steroid version of that modality. So that is the core reason, the best reason, the best justification to be cautious when venturing into the fog of war, if for nothing else, because there's a spiritual cost, especially when the current standard of war is the art of deception. Who, by the way, I mean, let's just do an accounting of the history. Two of the great military philosophers, two of the great war philosophers or governance philosophers in human history. Machiavelli, Sun Tzu. Think about what those two are heralded for, and then really think about the substance of their work. And what it calls for. Governance, dominance by deception. And we accept it. Why? Because it shows results. It's shown to have worked. But worked to what degree? At what level of analysis? We became a global military-industrial complex empire, and look what happened to our country. And it took President Trump to come down the escalator, and for the first time in decades and generations of American politics, say, maybe these wars weren't such a good idea. Maybe Iraq wasn't such a good idea. You couldn't even say it and hope to have any legitimate chance in politics before President Trump. We crossed that Rubicon. We crossed that gap in our culture, in our history. We crossed that Rubicon. Now we've come to one of our own. You can't even say, hey, I'm recognizing a pattern here with Israel in the Middle East. What makes it odd is it's the same people who President Trump decried when he came down the escalator. It's the reason we all love him. I can't tell you how many times I've rewatched President Trump smack Jeb Bush in the mouth during their presidential debate. I mean, the joy. And I wasn't even a huge President Trump fan at the time. But I still got a great joy out of that. I go back and watch it all the time to remind myself where this MAGA movement came from, where it got its origins, what the appeal actually was. And I think a lot of the MAGA movement has even forgotten that. When I say the McConnell cartel or the Bush junta, people kind of glaze over. When I say in 2012, you know, we put up a milquetoast moderate Republican like Mitt Romney against the most progressive president in our nation's history. It was a grave indictment of the Republican Party. When I say we're headed for another Mitt Romney moment, people kind of glaze over. We're not European. We're not Israeli. We're not global citizens. You know, we're not cosmopolitan, world-traveling omnisexuals. We're American citizens. And as American citizens, we would be wise to remember the order of charity. The order of love. And I bring it all the way back from the first segment tonight. The great Saint Augustine wrote so eloquently in The City of God, a brief and true description of virtue. A brief and true description of virtue is rightly ordered love. Rightly ordered love. Which means we can love Israel, but it has to be rightly ordered. We could love Europe, but it has to be rightly ordered. In concentric circles, expanding outward from God. God first, then ourselves, then our family and our loved ones, then our immediate communities and neighborhoods. That would expand to a state, that would expand to our nation. And then everything else after that, in concentric circles. And with all that being said, I hope we win the war. I hope we kick these Iranians right in the nuts. Can you handle that duality? Can you even handle that? I hope we win. I hope I wake up tomorrow and, it, you know, there's some great tactic we've pulled off where it's like, yep, this is over. The mullahs are calling uncle. They're done. They want them to strike a deal. It's all over. I won't be holding my breath. I won't be holding my breath. We hope for the best. We prepare for the worst. The worst case scenario is this is a herald of a moment. A Mitt Romney moment, a crisis moment in the MAGA movement, in the 2026 election cycle, on the road to 2028, where AOC and whoever else is already primed up, this is one of those moments that's going to define us. And if we're not going to win, if we're not going to win quick in a decisive fashion, this will be another thing added to the list that will be used against us, weaponized against us, to take this country back. In the most immediate way, it's become a distraction from the SAVE Act, which is by far the most important issue we should be prioritizing right here at home in a properly ordered love, charity, and politics. If we plan to kick these people in the nuts as we leave the Eurasian landmass, pivot to hemispheric strategy and a hemispheric defense, I got no problem with it. I got no problem with it. They ain't no love lost because they have no love for us. We know that. They could do all of the, you know, the happy talk online or at the summits, the international summits or meetings or peace talks or whatever the case may be. We know these people don't have any love for us here in America. And this, again, just like the Ronald Reagan 80-20 rule, and I know, you know, the audacity of me to try and slay one of these sacred cows. But just like the 80-20 Ronald Reagan rule, you know, this my enemy of my enemy is my friend idea runs dry at some point as well. And before you know it, you look up and you're surrounded by enemies. That's been us there in the Middle East. We've been on every side of the deal, every side of the trade. Look what happened. You know, we hit Iran. Israel hits Iran. Iran hits all of their Arab neighbors. And their Arab neighbors throw their hands up like, what you shooting at us for? And Iran sitting there laughing going, what do you mean? You thought those U.S. bases or those U.S. points, strategic targets in your country were going to be off limits? This is war. There are no rules. We don't care if you're Arab or Muslim or anything else. As long as you house those American bases, those U.S. bases, you're with the enemy, the great Satan. Of course we're going to hit your country too. That's what happens when you get into that Darwinian, you know, fog of war. There are no rules. And I can't stand people who are coming online now going, oh, the Iranians are attacking the Arab states too. Yeah, of course they are. Our bases are there. I mean, come on, stop. Stop it. Don't insult my intelligence. Let's just say we're just going to blow them away because we can, because we want to, because we think it's a good time to. I don't need a BS explanation. Maybe the rest of the American people do. I just find it as insulting. Maybe I'm paying too close attention. It's ridiculous to say that Iran is wrong for bombing those other Arab nations. We attacked them, even if you say that we're right to do it. Even if you say this is a war we need to fight. Don't try and double down by telling me they're wrong for attacking neighboring Arab states that have U.S. military bases. That's just dumb. It's the same way we had the conversation about Ukraine and Russia. Don't tell me Russia shot first. Because in America, I don't have to wait for you to shoot me or shoot at me to defend myself and kill you. If you say I'm going to kill you, if you say I'm going to kill you with a knife, if you pull a gun and you have it pointed down at your side, but you say I'm going to kill you with this gun, I have a right to kill you before you have any type of do any type of bodily harm or cause any assault on me whatsoever, carry out any assault on me whatsoever. That's fundamental to the way we view citizenship and inherent human rights here in America. So it applies to everybody else. If we say we're going to trample those rights because, only the strong survive, I understand that. And there's a lot of truth to that. But what about the principle? Just don't insult my intelligence on the principle. Just tell me there's a double standard. The rules are different. Cool. Fine. When you get into the fog of war, there are no rules. So we don't even have to talk about the rules anymore. But don't snowflake and go, well, the Ukrainians were invaded by Russia. Really? Really? Let Russia or China come put some short-range ballistic missiles there on the Guadalajaran border, and we would be right to blow them off the face of the earth. And if I was president of the United States, we'd be hitting Beijing and we'd be hitting Moscow the day that they try to put one batch of short-range ballistic missiles on the Guadalajaran border. It's the way things are. Just don't lie. Just don't lie to us about it. It's obnoxious. It's obnoxious. It's unappealing. I'd much more rather people just say, hey, we're going to roll this thing all the way to Beijing. It's on. It's going down right now. People may not want that. The American people may say, hey, wait a second. Despite the woes of the economy, our 401ks are looking great. Don't you see all these beautiful granite countertops in our apartments? We just got AI. We're smarter than ever with more information. The money's for free and the chicks are for nothing, as they used to say back in the day. OnlyFans, look, look up and see Minneapolis has a top five, I think, top five or top 10, OnlyFans usage. It seems a plumb line uniparty state like Minnesota has some other interests other than politics, other than the value of their citizenship. You understand what I'm saying? If we were going to roll this thing all the way to the front door of Beijing and the American people said, oh, we have no appetite for war whatsoever. Because our lives are too good. It's too comfortable. I get that. I understand the dynamic. I'm just different. I'm just like, give it to me straight. Give it to me real. Give it to me raw. Give it to me like it is. Are we going to have it out with China right now? Maybe we should. Maybe it's incumbent upon us to go to full-blown kinetic war with the CCP right now because the AI arms race that we are now in is even more dangerous than the war we have right there in the Middle East. The implications of artificial intelligence and the artificial intelligence, the AI arms race that has now began carries way more danger than the war there in the Middle East. Tenfold, 100-fold. So maybe it is that we have to roll this all the way up to the front door of Beijing. You want to talk about a national threat? You want to talk about our national, vital national interest? Hell, why don't we just send the B-2 bombers to go hit Beijing? Because surely if we keep heading in the direction we're headed now, the AI thing is going to inevitably spiral out of control. Because, and the justification will be, we're in an arms race with China. I hear it all the time. I go, we should have a full, if there is one global summit and peace treaty, if there's one global treaty left, if there's a single global treaty left to even consider getting involved in, it's about the safeguards on artificial intelligence. And we've had such a bad experience with international or global treaties, I hesitate to even say that. But if there's one left to consider, it should be a treaty about artificial intelligence. Do you hear that being a priority? Is anybody making that a priority out there? No, we're hearing how AI is going to grow and develop and continue to, you know, scale, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great for people. You know, saw an ad the other day. Who knows if this is AI or not, but you know, the first human clinical trials of reversing aging are going to, oh, now we're going to live forever. Great. Fantastic. Hey, I love looking in the mirror. I'm pretty handsome. I'd love to stay this age for 250 years. I think it'd be great for humanity. No, it wouldn't. That is a level of arrogance and heresy that is almost unquantifiable. It really is. Let's just live forever. No, what an anti-Christian thing to even think. No, right. Death is unnatural. There's no doubt about it. Human beings were never meant to die. We meet an untimely death. We meet an unnatural end because of our fallen nature. And the moment you stop believing in that, it's no wonder you have a disoriented a Christian faith. It's no wonder your Christian identity is disordered. Like I said, we have a polarity in America where on one side you have transgender jihadists and on the other side you have Christians who are more loyal to Israel than they are to Jesus Christ. And you cannot vote for me. You can try and kick me out of the Republican Party. You can try and make me persona non grata. It's not going to change the truth. And that's the Christian in me talking. You can crucify us, but it will not change the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is God's one and only begotten Son, a part of a holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people who mock that, the people who, openly reject that, the people who disrespect that, I hold no quarter for you people. You don't have to believe, but you cross over into the disrespect. And now we got a problem. Like hanging a transgender flag three times the size of a cross on the outside of a church. Heresy. Heresy. Israel can take the entire greater Israel footprint. Doesn't much matter to me. The question is, what are our priorities? It's a cautionary tale. We're at a pivotal moment again, and there are going to be a bunch more pivotal moments between now and whatever fate befalls us. It's going to be a lot of pivotal moments before it's all said and done. Let's hope we can get this one right. Like I said, if I wake up tomorrow and we've won the war, great. Still my opinion that the proper order of charity and love and politics, like the great Saint Augustine once said, Ordo Amoris, Ordo Caritatis, a brief and true definition of virtue is rightly ordered love. There's a proper order to things. And right now, the order is America first. God bless you all. Godspeed. God bless America. God bless our president, all of our men and women who are in harm's way. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central. Free People Radio on X. We'll have the live stream. And you can join us and talk there. Good night. See you next time.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now. Run until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.